Me to Exodus 12, please. Exodus 12, I love these Old Testament scriptures, speaking of Christ and seeing him in the Old Testament when Lord Jesus Christ walked with the ones on the way to Emmaus and how he would open up the scriptures and speak of the things concerning himself, Christ in all the scriptures. I love that subject. It's so wonderful. I wonder what he spoke about. I wish we were told more. And so on, but this is definitely one of them. And as I was thinking of this here, I think of what Jack Hunter said once, and I think this is so wonderful. He said, "Ever Christ, always Christ, only Christ." And I love that statement by Jack Hunter. And we find this here. And before we start this, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, this would be truly a type of Christ, Christ our Passover. Here we have Christ our Passover. Here in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says this, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And it says this here, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. Let's turn to, and I think you might be there already, Exodus 12, and read a few verses here. Exodus 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall, or the inward parts thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And it says further here, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." I think later on it says a little bit more of this. Where is it here? "Everyone that was inside that had a blood put upon there was safe." So here we have Christ our Passover. And there's a few things I want to talk about here that it speaks about in verses. In the first verse, a lamb for the house here. And I love this. This has always been something I've enjoyed. There's no such thing as an household that was too small or too great for the lamb. The lamb was enough for the house, at least the household. And it says here in verse 4, it says this, "And if the household be too little for the lamb," so the lamb was sufficient. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And I love that. A lamb for the house. And even if there was a household who had 10 people in there, the lamb would have been enough. And for a household that had 2 people, and it actually doesn't specify how many people, we know one thing for sure, that there was one lamb for the house at least, and it was sufficient. And we come to the New Testament, and we look at the Lamb of God, the Savior, our Lord, and we find here in Hebrews 10, verse 14, a few verses here, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." The absolute sufficiency of that lamb. He has perfected forever. There is nothing lacking. And I really enjoy that. Another one, this is one of my favorite verses. You find in Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So in the person of Christ, bodily, the one who is in heaven at the right hand of God right now, it says in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want to take that in for myself, even right now, and enjoy this, that in Christ, we have complete sufficiency. The lamb for the house, it is enough, sufficient. And I love that. So we have the sufficiency of Christ in the lamb for the house. Going on, next verse, it says this, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats." And here we have Christ, the sinlessness. Now, not necessarily the sufficiency, but the sinlessness of Christ. And in the New Testament, it goes even further, without blemish and without spot. But here we have without blemish, something that you could see, and you would look upon that lamb, and it had to be without blemish. So we think of the time, here they are, they're going through all the flock, and every single one of them, we're talking about thousands and thousands of lambs, and not one of them can have a blemish, one of those representative lambs. Not one of them can have a blemish. And it speaks so wonderfully of our Savior. As Brother Duncan mentioned this morning, there was no sin in him. We read in Hebrews, he was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was holy. There was no blemish that would come upon his person. He was without blemish. We find in 1 Peter 1, verse 19, it says, "But with the precious, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb." Here we see, we have the type here as well again. It's clearly referencing to this Exodus 12 lamb here. "As of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So Christ had no blemish. We see him walking on the streets of Jerusalem on this planet Earth, and there was no blemish upon him. And we could find the writers, a few writers, Peter, Paul, John, all three of them talk about there was no sin in him. He could not sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. So, and it was absolutely necessary for this lamb to have no blemish because it speaks of Christ. And I love how much of a type this is. It's very carefully laid out. The Lord laid it out very carefully here. It could not have a blemish. Why? Because it speaks of the greater Lamb of God. And I love that. That's so wonderful here. So your lamb shall be without blemish. You have here the sinlessness of Christ. We have the sufficiency of Christ, a lamb for the house. We have the sinlessness of Christ, a lamb without blemish. So you go down next verse, it says this here, "And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So you have a few things to unpack here in this verse. We have now not now the sufficiency of Christ or the sinlessness of Christ, but we have the sacrifice of Christ here. The sacrifice of Christ, and the rest of it deals with the cross and how it's laid out here of the fire and all that. But we find here, you shall keep it until the 14th day. I found it very interesting how they had to have that lamb from the 10th day to the 14th day, and they would have observed it, and they would have found that indeed it has no blemish. It was really a perfect lamb for the sacrifice. And actually in history, if you go back to the day when Christ actually died, it was supposedly the same time of year as this Passover. In Nisan, I believe it's 14. I might be mistaken, but from the 10th day, when he walked into Jerusalem, 10th Nisan, and he died on the 14th, on a Friday, it was 4 days, and it was actually the Passover lamb. In history, it actually happened at that time. He actually was the one. He died at that time when the Passover lamb was to be, the remembrance feast had to be made. It would have taken place anyways. So we find here that we find a congregation of Israel shall kill it. And they would look upon him, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him in here it is type. I'm going to New Testament now. And how they would look upon him for 4 days, and what would they say to him? What would they say about Christ? Remember those words quite well. They would say, "Away with him. We do not want this man to reign over us." And not only that, but they would say, "Crucify him. Crucify him." The multitude would cry out for his blood. And let his blood be upon us. And upon our children, they would say. In Acts 4, verse 27, it says, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles," and notice it also says this, "and the people of Israel were gathered together." So they were gathered together, and they would say, "Crucify him," the whole multitude. The nation of Israel as a whole would say, "Away with him," and a whole congregation will kill him. And you find it such a clear type here of Christ. And they will kill. So now we have man's responsibility. The congregation of Israel are going to kill him, and they're going to put him on the cross. But then we go even further. Here we're going to take some more. So that we're going to now talk about the sacrifice of Christ. And what we can find here, it says here, read about the blood of the lamb to be applied. And there we have safety, the blood of the lamb to be applied. And I love this actually in the gospel. I know somebody, a friend of mine who passed away now, Uncle Sam from Portage, and he actually got saved by this verse. When the preacher said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And right in that moment, he saw the blood of Christ, and he recognized that God is going to pass over him, and he's not going to bring judgment upon him because the blood has been shed. I love that. The blood of the Lamb to be applied. Ephesians 1 verse 7, we find, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So we have redemption through his blood, the blood of the Lamb. And we find it here, "And ye shall take the blood," verse 7, "and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein ye shall eat it." So the blood had to be applied physically on the doors of the entrance of their houses. But in the New Testament, we find that the blood has to be applied upon our souls, upon our heart. It's a spiritual applying of the blood of Christ, that God is so satisfied with. It's the only thing that can redeem. The blood of Christ is the only thing that can give God the ransom price for our sins and buy us and reconcile us back to God. So we find here we have the blood. It speaks of safety. They have safety because the blood is applied from all of... What a scenario. We find that Pharaoh, with his hardened heart, would continually say, you can go, but then he would pull back and so on over and over and over again. He would harden his heart. And then here we find God saying, you know what? This is going to be the last straw. I will now make a showing that there is a difference indeed between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. And I will show it clearly. And here we have the Egyptians in every single household, the firstborn child, or I think it's male child, I might be mistaken. The firstborn child was killed, but not only of the humans, but also of their cattle and of their sheep and so on. Everyone that came out of the womb first was killed, but not so in the people of God with Israel. Because why? Because the blood has been applied. And that is really, if you're not saved today, may the blood be applied. There's no other way to heaven. God will not accept anything else but the precious blood of Christ. So if you're not saved today, may this be something that you take in and apply to your own heart. So next thing is, so we had the blood applied, but now we have the lamb, not only the blood applied, but we have the lamb to be eaten. So Christ must be personally taken in and eaten here. It says, next verse, verse 8, it says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. See, they shall eat it, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not, so it gives them something that they shall not do to the sacrifice. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence, the inward parts thereof. And I think this is very well put here in John 6, verse 52. I'll read it here for you. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. But later on it says in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words, notice this, so when they were offended, it seems like they were even thinking physically, that he was talking about physical, his own flesh and his blood, but that's not at all what Jesus was speaking about. It says here, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's talking of something completely different than, just like with Nicodemus. Nicodemus could say, I must go back to my mother's womb and be born again. He was thinking physically, but Lord Jesus Christ is saying, no, there has to be a spiritual birth. And how does someone be spiritually born? They have to take Christ in and believe in him and trust in him alone and assimilate him into your very souls. Trust in him alone. And they will be then born again, and they will eat of him. And from now on, we shall eat of him. He is our food indeed and our drink indeed. But spiritually, obviously, not physically. But back then they had to eat it, this lamb, they would eat it physically. But it says this, roast with fire. And it is very important, roast with fire. They cannot have it raw because it's a picture and a type of Christ. And what does roast with fire mean? What does this entail? When we come to the New Testament, or even Old Testament, but here we have, it speaks really of the severity of the judgment of sin. Psalm 22, verse 14, it says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels, roast with fire. A judgment of God fell upon him because of our sin. It fell upon him. Lamentations 1, verse 13, it says, from above has he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He has turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day. Eat it not raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. The absolute necessity of the judgment of God falling on him. And it went, it even says the inward parts, the very inward parts, it went over his whole person on the cross when he was there as a lamb. It went through his whole being. There was not one part of him that was untouched. The very inward parts. And it says this here. We find that I think my time is done, actually. But just one more thing that I want to encourage ourselves with. But this is such a precious type of Christ. I really enjoy this. I know it's very short and maybe even scattered, but I really enjoyed it. But something I want to encourage ourselves with and exhort us here later on in Exodus 12, verse 24, it says something that we can appreciate and that we did this morning even. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it wasn't that what we did this morning. And to keep doing this forever, to enjoy, to remember him as that precious lamb, that Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. The only reason why we will be safe from judgment, the only reason that we will be safe from eternal damnation is because that blood of Christ has been applied to our souls, and he will pass over us, pass over our house, our souls, our heart, and we shall be safe forever. But we shall tell our children. Later on it says, further on it says, and it shall come to pass, in verse 26, when your children shall say to you, what mean ye by this service? So our children will ask us about this Passover lamb, our Lord Jesus. It's an encouragement to us. And ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And I thought that's a very nice way to end it, that our Passover was sacrificed for us. And our children will ask us, and we'll pass this on to them, that Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Let us give thanks to the Lord.